Hello and welcome. I hope your day is going well. In fact, if it's not, we're going to make it better. Coming up on Which Way Is Life, episode number 7, my guest today, Dr. Rob Cohen. Learn why it's important your cosmetic surgeon really listens to you. What you need to look for in a surgeon if you're considering cosmetic surgery or a laser lipo procedure. And exactly what aesthetic breast surgery is. We're going to answer those questions for you coming up. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Which Way Is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt. That's real, Real Salt brand sea salt.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired. Get healthy. Reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Rob Cohen in the house today. Dr. Cohen is a leader in the field of aesthetic plastic surgery, whose expertise is highly regarded by both patients interested in improving their appearance and plastic surgeons seeking to improve their techniques by attending his lectures. He is a highly skilled surgeon in all areas of cosmetic and laser surgery and sees patients from all over the United States and from places as far as Asia, South America, Europe, the Middle East, and Australia. Dr. Cohen, welcome. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. Can you let us in a little bit on who you are? What's your personal life like when you're not saving the world?
Well, I don't know if I'm saving the world, but I'm trying to make the world a better place, I guess, in my way. First of all, thank you so much for having me. So basically, you know, I'm a plastic surgeon. I have two practices. I have one in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I expanded my practice to Santa Monica. I have an office there as well right now. I'm practicing in both cities. And so that's kind of what I do. I do mostly more breast and body surgery. I take care of a lot of moms, people whose bodies have changed from pregnancies or other things that they can't fix on their own. And I try to help them improve things that bother them so that they have more motivation to take good care of themselves and feel confident and happy with their appearance.
I love it, and that's what we're all about on this podcast. So, Dr. Rob, I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
I love it. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
I think one thing you can do to improve your life today is find balance. And I think that's really the key to everything, moderation and balance. So make sure that you're taking enough time to relax, but also taking time to exercise. Make sure you're eating healthy, but have a cheat day here and there so you're not depriving yourself of too much. Make sure you're trying to do the things that are good in life, like, exercise, spending time with family and friends, those kind of things. Try to cut back on things that are not so good for you, like smoking or drug use or other stuff like that, or a sedentary lifestyle. So I think that's obviously a pretty vague or sort of a broad answer to the question, but I think if you live a balanced life, that's what leads to a longer, happier life for most patients.
Balance, so important, but so elusive at times, but you just gave us some great tips there. I appreciate that. You know, we all want to live a healthy, inspired life, but part of that is feeling good about ourselves and having a positive self-image and self-worth. And many
Absolutely.
People don't have that because they have a poor body image. And you directly help people with that. What do you first say to someone that comes in and, you know, has a poor self-body image and just feeling down about the way they look?
Right. Well, you know, most people who come to see me, it's usually not just that they're bothered by everything. It's usually some specific things that are bothering them. And for most of the patients that come to see me, it's specific fixable things that they're unable to fix on their own. So, for example, if somebody's just a little overweight, but they're not exercising and not watching what they eat, obviously the first thing you should do is improve your diet and exercise program and see what you can do. But there are some problems that you can't fix in that way. For example, stretched out tissue, or if, for example, male patients, if they have too much glandular tissue in the chest and they have sort of a feminine appearing chest that they can't fix. So those are the kind of problems that I tend to see, that when I see those patients, I give them an honest evaluation of what I can do, how it can help them, and how it may affect them down the road. And that's sort of sort of the way things work. So for a lot of patients, some people come in, they're already pretty happy and confident. There's just something that bothers them a little bit that they just can't fix. For some patients, it's something that is such an impact on their day-to-day life that they basically become almost reclusive, and they're not going out or being social because they're so self-conscious. And so for the first set of patients who are already confident, the surgery can just make them feel even better. For the second group of patients, I've seen total transformations where people go from extremely introverted and quiet and unhappy to very outgoing and extroverted and confident just because of my ability to change something that they are not able to fix themselves.
So in that second group, that's where you can really make the biggest difference, that total transformation, which is just terrific when you can help somebody like that. That's for sure. For someone
Absolutely.
Thinking of a cosmetic procedure, how do you know if they're a good candidate or not?
Well, I mean, part of that is just experience. So, you know, having done thousands and thousands of surgeries and seeing all sorts of different patient body types and issues and fixing these problems, I get a good sense of what can be done. I have a good sense of, you know, what's bothering a patient, and then I sort of synthesize, you know, what their issue is, what I can do to fix them, and is that likely to make them happy or not? Most patients, the answer is yes, and every once in a while I'll see a patient who they're what they think is bothering them is either so out of proportion to what the real problem is, or they may be attributing all these other issues to this one physical problem that I might be concerned that, you know, the surgery itself is not going to fix all the other issues that they're worried about. Those are the patients I usually will talk to and say, look, you know, maybe surgery isn't going to be the solution for your problems. You may want to try this or that first, and then we'll see how you're doing, you know, down the road. So it is sort of a balance of deciding what can be done physically and surgically, but also analyzing and evaluating the patient, making sure that surgery is the actual solution to their problems, because you don't want to just operate on patients if you don't think it's going to really help them.
So I know you say listening to the patient is very important, and then putting together a great game plan, a roadmap,
exactly.
if you will. So that's really important. I would think somebody really is comforted when their cosmetic surgeon really listens to their problem and evaluates and comes up with a thorough plan, right?
Exactly. I mean, plastic surgery is not a, you know, one-size-fits-all kind of surgery. Every patient is unique. Every patient has not only unique physically, but every patient has their own sets of goals, their idea of what looks good to them, what they're hoping to get out of surgery, and their, you know, what their lifestyle is, et cetera. So every case has to be specifically evaluated, analyzed, and planned for that particular patient. And if you're not spending the time listening carefully to what the patient wants and making sure that you can achieve the goals that they're hoping for, then you're going to do that patient a disservice, because, you know, you could do a great surgery, but if it's not what the patient had in mind, then, you know, they're not going to be a happy patient. And, or, you know, or if somebody comes in with body dysmorphia or some other issue where it's not the physical problem, it's the, you know, sort of more of a the way they see themselves. And sometimes it has to be taken care of from a social worker or from a therapist standpoint, not from a surgical standpoint. So those are all the really important things that you get trained to do. And then over, you know, many years of experience, you get better and better at sort of assessing what each patient needs and wants and what you can accomplish for them, and making sure you give them realistic expectations of what to envision for after surgery.
So that's good advice. Unfortunately, we all can't come to you, Dr. Rob. I'm sorry. I wish we could, but those are great things to look for in a cosmetic surgeon. Anything else?
Well, if you're going to do aesthetic surgery, I mean, we could have a whole podcast just about how to pick a plastic surgeon properly, but, you know, right. A couple of quick rules of thumb. Make sure they're certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, which is the only board that's officially recognized for plastic surgeons. You want to make sure that they've, you know, once they've taken their board, you also want to make sure that they have, you know, a good reputation in the community. You want to take a look at a lot of before and after photos to see, you know, what the quality of their work is. You want to get a sense of what their area of expertise is. And then, you know, most importantly, once you've kind of done all that groundwork and done that basic homework, you want to go in and meet with the surgeon and make sure you have a connection with them, because obviously it's a relationship of sorts, where a professional relationship, but it's, you know, you're entering this very special relationship, doctor-patient. You want to make sure that you get along, that you can kind of understand each other well. And if there's some major communication issues before surgery, obviously that's going to be even worse after surgery. So you have to feel pretty comfortable with whoever you're going to have do your surgery.
That is so true. You know, on this podcast, we talk about paying attention to your feelings. And if it doesn't feel right, you know, probably a red flag. Probably shouldn't
Absolutely.
Do it. So great advice. Now, you're an expert in aesthetic breast surgery and have taught hundreds of other plastic surgeons your personal philosophy and techniques. Now, I don't want to assume everyone knows what that is. So can you tell us what is aesthetic breast surgery?
Basically, you know, plastic surgery as a field covers a huge range of procedures, which people don't understand sometimes. They think, you know, a lot of people think plastic surgery is just all cosmetic surgery, and it's not. It covers hand surgery, craniofacial, birth defects, trauma, burns, et cetera, et cetera. So I've done all that, and that's all part of your training as a plastic surgeon. And then as I got into my practice, my area of interest and what I got particularly skilled at was aesthetic surgery of the breast. And I do a bunch of other stuff too, but aesthetic surgery of the breast would just be any kind of surgery to make breasts look better, whether it's a breast reduction because they're too big and heavy and causing back shoulder pain, or breast augmentation for patients who are either too small or have abnormal development of the breast. They do a lot of revision or corrective surgery. So for patients who have had either botched breast surgery or surgery that's kind of gone in a direction that they didn't want, they fix a lot of those kind of problems. So really anything that's making the breast look better, that's kind of what I focus on the most. But as I said before, I do a lot of other, you know, facial and other types of body surgery as well.
Well, that's really interesting. So when you think about that, you're really trying to give the breast the most natural, real appearance so it doesn't look like anything ever happened. So that's kind of what it sounds like to me. And I could see where that would be really, really important to somebody having cosmetic surgery.
Exactly. And there's a range, you know, so some patients come in and they want a little bit more of an augmented look where it still looks natural, but has a little bit more of that upper breast fullness. Most patients come to see me want a very natural look where, you know, you can't necessarily tell whether they've had breast surgery or not, but they just look really youthful and nice. So again, there's a range of what people like, and I kind of do my best to try to figure out what they're going for and try to create as close to the look that they're shooting for as possible with surgery. And, you know, you're obviously dealing with anatomy, too. So some patients have a much better starting point. Other patients have a lot of anatomical asymmetries or other issues that need to be corrected at the same time. So the surgery can actually get pretty challenging, particularly when you're dealing with people who've had multiple prior surgeries that didn't go well. You're trying to fix that. You know, sometimes I'll see patients who have had more than 10 prior breast surgeries, and they're looking worse now than they did before they started the whole process. So that can be very complicated to manage that, and with all the scar tissue and everything else, and try to make things look the way they want.
So that's where you come in, and you try to make it right for these people. You're speaking of a challenging cases. Can you tell us a quick story about a really challenging person that you helped, and you were talking about earlier about transforming people's lives with what you do? Quick story about somebody that came in with a challenging problem.
Right. You know, actually, two patients come to mind just as soon as you mentioned that. So one was not a redo. It was a first-time surgery patient. But she came in, she was super, super quiet and wouldn't make eye contact. Or she came in with her husband. And, you know, I kind of got the sense that maybe that she was embarrassed even to be intimate with her husband because of the way her breasts looked. Mm-hmm. She had multiple children, and her breasts really, they looked completely deflated and empty. She called them like two tube socks hanging on her chest. And that wasn't so far from the truth in terms of the shape of the breast. So essentially, you know, for women, the breast is sort of an area of sexuality and femininity. And if the breasts don't look nice and they don't match the rest of the body, it can be very unsettling and really affect their confidence level. So after I saw her, she didn't want to be anything too big. And she came from a fairly religious family. So, you know, there's also this sort of like in the back room, maybe a stigma to her trying to do this. And I had to convince her that, no, this isn't something that you're being vain about. You just want to look normal and be comfortable in your own skin. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, just like we take care of ourselves and we get our hair done and this and that. I mean, you know, people want to look their best without going overboard. So in her situation, she needed breast implants and also skin tightening, a breast lift to fix everything up. And she was one of those patients that it was literally a night and day difference. When she came back to my office for follow-ups, she went from this very quiet patient, again, who could barely made eye contact, to extremely outgoing and happy and bubbly. And you could just tell it was like a switch had been flipped for her. And you could see her husband was really happy because she was so much happier. It was one of those things that I really felt I changed this person's life. And it's kind of hard to imagine that, oh, you just fix somebody's breasts and it can be a life changer. But that was that was one situation where she was a different person, a much happier, more confident, and just a more outgoing person. So that case really stuck with me. And she, for years, she was in touch with our office, just, you know, telling us how happy she was. And it was just so, so great to see somebody who really was able to bloom from something that was able to help that she couldn't fix herself.
Right. Great.
That's
story.
One case. And then another case that comes to mind is a revision case I saw. This is a patient who unfortunately made some bad choices. She went to a non-plastic surgeon. Well, she had been to multiple surgeons, but the last one was a non-surgeon, really, who's just dabbling with surgery, which is hard to believe that's legal, but it is. If somebody has a medical degree and they're doing surgery outside a hospital, they can call themselves a cosmetic surgeon and kind of do whatever they want. So that's one of the reasons I say it's so important to do your research and make sure somebody has proper training. And again, the American Board of Plastic Surgery is sort of the basic, you know, standard that at the very least your plastic surgeon should have. So this right. patient had multiple surgeries, and the last surgery, the non-surgeon decided that her implant should be close together. So he really over-released one of her pec muscles, and the entire muscle was detached from where it connects in the sternum in the middle. So basically when she stood there, one of her implants, the muscle is actually under the implant now instead of on top of the implant, and it was pushing the implant sort of up towards her collarbone and across the other side of her chest. So this picture is on my website under the corrective section, but literally standing there, one breast is sort of down and out under her armpit, and the other breast is up and almost in the middle of her chest. So she was somebody who she couldn't go out with anything besides like a turtleneck and not look completely deformed and abnormal. So in her case, it was a very complicated surgery. I had to use some additional materials and reposition the implant, but I was able to get the implant back, both implants back where they were supposed to be. And she went from completely deformed looking to totally normal looking again. She was another patient who was just so relieved to be able to go out in regular shirts and wear bathing suits. So just kind of the stuff that a lot of us, you know, a lot of women would just take for granted, she couldn't do anymore because she truly had a surgical deformity, and now she's back to normal. So that was another case that really, from a dramatic before and after change, that one kind of sticks out in my mind as well.
Absolutely. Well, I applaud you for your efforts, and you made such a big difference in all your patients' lives, and especially those two patients that you just told us that story about. Dr. Rob, I do want to spend a little time on your journey, and what inspired you to do what you do today?
Yeah, I get that question asked a lot. And honestly, I knew that I wanted to be a plastic surgeon as early as high school, believe it or not. I was always very interested in art, drawing, sculpting, doing other things with my hands. And then I saw a show on TV about plastic surgery, and it seemed like a really great way to incorporate sort of some artistic tendencies into also, you know, the technical aspects of surgery and the scientific side of being a doctor. So that all really appealed to me. And then I ended up, at that time I was living in Scottsdale, Arizona, and there was a local plastic surgeon that I was in touch with that allowed me to spend time with him in the office in the operating room. I got to see a ton of cases, and I knew that that was sort of what I wanted to do. So as of our junior year in high school, I said I was going to be a plastic surgeon someday. And I didn't realize there was going to be another, you know, 15, 16 years before I was actually done with my training. But after all that, I was doing what I thought I was going to do.
Now, I'm sure you've had important people that have made an impact in your life. What's the best piece of advice you were ever given?
You know, I think probably the best piece of advice I was ever given was from my dad, actually. And, you know, I had some periods of time where I was sort of questioning, you know, life was pretty tough, you know, as far as the training, and I was starting to sort of stress out about some of my decisions I'd made. And he said, you know what, don't look back. You always have to focus on what you're doing, look forward and see what can you do to make things better for yourself and for other people. And I think by doing that, you know, there's so many decisions as a surgeon and just in the process of becoming a surgeon that you have to make on a daily basis. And some decisions are going to be good. And sometimes, you know, as part of the training and the process, you may have regrets, but you always have to focus on, you know, doing your best, doing the right thing, and understanding that sometimes, you know, the path that you take is sort of not always clear to you. But if you focus on doing your best, then you're going to end up in the right spot. So I think that was it. It was to not have regrets, not to look back, but just focus on doing the right thing, doing the best I can at all times, and just understanding that process has a natural flow to it that'll work out in the end.
Well, that's great advice. That vision to keep moving forward. Like you said, don't look back. Don't second guess. Just keep knowing what you want and just keep going for it. Keep going, keep going, keep going.
And I just want to be clear that I do look back and you know, you always have to analyze everything you do to help yourself get better, but you just don't want to overly, overanalyze and second guess yourself. That's kind of the point that I was making.
Absolutely. So I ask all of my guests similar questions, and one of them is about joy, something I think we need to cultivate more of in our lives. So here goes, besides family and friends and career, what brings you joy in life?
Obviously you brought the most important ones, family and friends. What I really like in life, I like new experiences and the outdoors. Those are really what makes me the happiest. So I love to travel when I have a chance and visit new cities and countries and cultures. That's always been really important to me. And I've been traveling, all over the world since I was just a little kid, actually. And then I really like outdoor sports. So I've always been into a big snow skier, mountain biker, scuba diver, anything that's kind of like outdoorsy and kind of adventurous. Those are things that really make me happy, and I try to do that as much as I can.
Well, that's really cool. And, for all of us, getting in touch really with what brings us joy is so important, and it does take a little work. You got to really think about it and get into it. And you, like you said, you enjoy new experiences. So sometimes you got to try those new experiences, and then you'll find out what you like or not.
Exactly.
Those are some really interesting things. I have this theory that most high-performing people have a certain way they start their day, whether it be 15 minutes reading or writing thank yous or meditating. Let me ask you this. How do you start your day?
Well, I guess I tend to sleep as late as I can because I like to sleep in the morning. Unfortunately, surgery is not exactly a night owl type of career, and so I've had to make myself into a morning person. And then I guess, when I start my day, I usually just get out of bed, get ready, have my protein shake, and I start, sort of visualizing my first case of the day, what I'm going to do, and kind of getting in my zen mode for surgery. And then when I get in the office, I'm usually going to see my patient immediately, and surgery is usually the first thing that I start doing each day. And so luckily for me, surgery is almost like a meditative experience. When I get in the operating room and I start doing my thing, it's so second nature for me now that it's a combination of sort of thinking what I'm doing, but also just kind of going with the natural flow of the procedure. Like I said, it's got almost sort of like a meditative quality to it someday.
So is that something that just happens naturally, or do you have procedures in place to start getting you into that zen mode? And I'm just wondering if there is, and maybe there's something we can pick up from that and learn.
Got it. I don't know if there's anything specific that I do or think about, but I would say it's just a matter of, sometimes I find during my ride into work, I just focus on my breathing and taking slow, deep breaths to kind of get calm and centered. My wife is, teaches yoga and has a lot of experience in that. So she's more of the spiritual yoga type person, but I've learned some things from her as far as centering yourself and breathing exercises and things of that nature that can help to kind of calm the mind, slow you down, and get you focused at the same time. So I think people in general can, there's so many different ways that you can find out how to sort of calm yourself down. And I guess for every person, it might be a different way of doing it. But the bottom line is that you if you're going to do something important and something that takes a lot of attention and focus, you need to find a way to sort of calm and settle your mind and really get into a very smooth groove when you're doing that task.
Absolutely, and that helps you be your absolute best. So thank you for sharing
sure.
that with us. Coming up, we get the high five from Dr. Rob Cohen. If I could ask a favor, I have one simple goal for this podcast. I want people to walk away with something they've learned to improve their life, to make their life better, to have more meaning, to have more enjoyment. And if we do that slowly, I think we make the world a better place. I just believe that in my heart. So we're trying to reach the most people we can. If you can, jump on over to iTunes after the interview with Dr. Rob. Rate and review the show. Leave comments. Tell me what you're interested in. Tell me what you're concerned about in life. And by doing that, we gain a wider audience. So if you could take 30 seconds and do that, I would greatly appreciate it. The High Five with Dr. Rob Cohen is next. Which Way is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And for you, my very favorite listener, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Now, I'm just about done with this book, Designing Your Life by Bill Burnett and Dave Evans. It's a really cool book, and it talks about the stuff we talk about on this podcast, like how can I have more meaning and purpose in life? If you want to check it out, you can for free. Just go to audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Again, that's audibletrial.com/whichwayislife for your, let me say it again, free audiobook. Which Way is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. You probably already use sea salt on your food because you know of its health benefits, but is your salt real? Take a look at the ingredients panel. You might be surprised by what's inside. A lot of salts contain fillers, anti-caking chemicals, even dextrose, which of course is a type of sugar. That's right. You want to find a salt that hasn't been stripped of its minerals or had chemicals added. Real Salt Brands is an unrefined salt from an ancient ocean in central Utah. Think about our oceans today, right? They're not as clean as they used to be. Real Salt Brand sea salt formed long before man-made pollution was a problem. With Real Salt, you get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt that's real. Real Salt Brand sea salt. Find it at your local health food store or go to realsalt.com. Time for the high five with Dr. Rob Cohen, my guest today. Dr. Rob, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, number one, when you're introduced to someone at a party and they find out you're a cosmetic surgeon, what question do you get asked the most?
Oh, good question. I guess the most common question I get asked probably is, how did you get interested or what made you become a plastic surgeon? That's for just the generic, you know, person I'm talking to who maybe doesn't have any specific interest in plastic surgery for themselves, but just is curious. And then probably the second most common question is from patients who actually are considering plastic surgery themselves. They'll usually ask me a question or two about whatever is concerning them, you know, whatever body part or what kind of surgery that I would do in that situation, stuff like that. But I have had situations where people have asked to actually look at them or do something, and as long as it's not like too inappropriate, I'm happy to take a peek at something. If it's something that requires undressing, I'd usually just recommend that they call my office so we can set up a formal appointment if they want.
Right. All right. Question number two. Knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
That's a great question. I would give myself the advice of enjoy life as it's going along. You know, I was always so focused on the next step and all the things I had to do to pass each hurdle on my career that sometimes I got focused on the end result and I missed a little bit of the journey. That being said, I actually, in retrospect, I was able to really enjoy most of my years, most of my training pretty well, but I would tell myself to even more so focus on the day-to-day because time goes faster than you expect.
That's so good. Every day is a gift. Make the most out of it. So good. Question number three, if you had to recommend a book to our audience, what would it be?
There's so many books that I love, and I'm actually a really big reader. The first book that pops out of my mind that I read a few years ago but really stuck with me was a book called Shantaram. It's spelled S-H-A-N-T-A-R-A-M. And it was basically supposedly a true story about a guy who was in India and was living in the slums in India. He was sort of an escaped convict, actually. And it's just a very fascinating story, which really sucks you into what life is probably like in some of the bigger slums and areas in India. It's a fascinating story. So most people I've talked to have read it have had very strong feelings and connections with the book. So that'd be my recommendation. It's a long one, so people shouldn't get intimidated by the size of the book. It's beautifully written and just very interesting story.
Well, good. We'll put a link in the show notes page so people can find that. Question number four, do you have a favorite health app or health resource you can share?
For me, I think the most helpful app for patients or the most helpful website, I guess, is a website called realself.com, R-E-A-L-S-E-L-F. And that's for people who are interested in plastic surgery. And it just basically is a forum where a patient can ask a question about anything. And then there's tons of plastic surgeons that will read the question and will answer back. And the thing that I really particularly like about that website is that it really is only open to board-certified plastic surgeons to answer questions. And because it's more of a consensus, you get multiple surgeons answering questions, patients can get a range of opinions, and you know, I think it can be a very helpful resource. So that's the one I would think of.
Okay, great. And number five, finish this sentence. Throughout my journey, the most important thing I've learned is...
The most important thing I've learned is to make time for your family and friends, and to really balance work with enjoying life.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Rob, thank you so much for your time today. How can we connect with you, learn more about you, etc.?
Oh, well, easiest thing is through my websites. They're pretty comprehensive, and I've spent, you know, God knows how many hundreds of hours putting photos, information, and all that. I think they're a great resource. So the two websites, or there's a few websites I have, but the main ones are going to be drrobertcohen.com, so drrobertcohen.com. That's my California website. And then robertcohenmd.com, so robertcohenmd.com. That's my Arizona website. And then I also have cohenbreastsurgery.com. So any of those are going to be, good ways to find out about me and find out a lot about this surgery if patients have interest.
And you'll be able to find those links. We'll put them right on the show notes page so you can easily find and learn more about Dr. Rob. Dr. Rob, thank you so much again. Have a great day.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Rob, thanks again. And remember, enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com. You're going to find a ton of links there for you to subscribe to this podcast on. And if I can ask a favor, if you could, just take a few seconds, jump over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast. That way we gain more visibility, we get more listeners, and we have the opportunity to help more people, which is what we want to do here on this podcast. So if you could do that, I would be in forever debt to you. Which Way Is, well, maybe not forever. Well, okay, but forever. Let's leave it at that. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. Hit me up on Twitter, at Which Way Is Life. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com. Also, my Which Way Is Life Facebook page. You can find all kinds of cool stuff there. Go to that. Thanks for listening, and stay well. We'll be right back.